Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Drake May talking about Mike Vrabel, his leadership throughout training camp, going into the preseason, and week one right around the corner for the Pats. That was Patriots Monday yesterday. Drake May on WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart. You can check that out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Your big takeaway from preseason game number one, Keith, was, and I think you called this a baseline, right, improvement for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. They weren't penalized. There weren't, like, issues lining up.
It was a pretty clean game.
Clean game,
yeah.
Right? They knew where to line up on the opening kickoff, instance. Like, Gerard Mayo's first kickoff last year, they couldn't line up properly.
Right.
They won the game.
Tough start.
We all kind of forgot about it.
Literal start.
But they couldn't line up properly on the opening kick for the season.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff shouldn't happen under Vrabel, but that is a baseline improvement. And that's been bad now for a few years. That was bad at the end under Bill, too. That attention to detail wasn't there. You hope that's improved. There's some snarl to their game, edge to their game. I think you saw that specifically with Will Campbell, but even to a lesser degree, like Trevion Henderson running people over, I think you're seeing some of that. So good. I expect those things to be better. I think you can count on those things. How about Vrabel getting the most out of Drake May? And that would mean from a leadership standpoint, which I know Giardi has had this opinion before, Hart asked Drake May about this as well. Is he comfortable being a leader? Uh-huh. And how comfortable are you with having that fall on your shoulders in year two? Can Vrabel get the most out of him in that regard as the leader of the team, making strides in year two, ironing things out of his game? I mean, put another way, is Mike Vrabel the right guy for Drake May? I think that's the next box we got to check while we're evaluating Mike Vrabel in year one.
Yeah, and we'll see, because it's one of the reasons why I wanted the offensive guy for Drake May.
Same.
You know, and so you look at all these quarterbacks that have done really, really well and who they've had as their head coaches. Now, there are examples of the other way, right? Like Sean McDermott would not be a guy that I would think that I would want, or at the time of the hiring be like perfect for my quarterback. And I still don't even know if he was. Like, they had Brian Daboll as their offensive coordinator, and then Josh Allen developed under him. They added Diggs. Then Daboll even moves on. Diggs even moves on, but at that point he's like a made man.
Yep.
Right? Like, he is good. He's got Sean McDermott, and he's on to his third offensive coordinator, and he's a stud. But he had McDermott and Daboll and Diggs, really, were like the three guys that helped develop Josh Allen. So to me, I think, like, on the field and some of the, you know, just his overall stats, for example, are gonna be really Josh McDaniels, I think, kind of leading him there. But then there's that other stuff, like the clock management and just, I think, football IQ stuff that the head coach is going to be a big factor in. And, you know, Bill, like, we know that it's Brady greater than Belichick, but I do think Belichick deserves a lot of credit for taking a young quarterback and sort of being the guy that, you know, got him ready. You hear all those stories about those guys would meet every week. And even though he's a defensive guy and a defensive genius, some of that other stuff, I think they worked really well together on. And so maybe Vrabel can kind of duplicate that part of it. Like, just teach Drake May everything he knows, some of the little tricks. Where you always felt like Brady had a leg up on everybody that he was playing for just, like, awareness, like general awareness.
Situational football
is probably the easiest way to boil it down. And so, in that sense, maybe Vrabel will be really beneficial for Drake May. You know, some defensive guys in the league do have great young quarterbacks, and maybe this will be an example.
And so what you hope is the setup is closer to Washington a year ago, right? Dan Quinn is a defensive head coach.
Yep.
He's been to a Super Bowl before, but, you know, he made his bones on defense. And you paired Jaden Daniels with Cliff Kingsbury, and you hope it's a similar setup here where you have a strong head coach and then you have the offensive guy in his ear, Kingsbury in the case of Daniels, McDaniels in the case of Drake May, and you hope that's a similar setup. I'm like you, Keith. I don't love that setup. That wouldn't be my choice, but there are examples of that working. Mm. McDermott is one. We just said Jaden Daniels and what's going on in Washington is another. I even say, and it's a while now with John Harbaugh, and even to the transition from Flacco to Lamar was years ago, but Harbaugh was a very established head coach at that time. I'd say that's another one. He was a special teams guy when he came into the league. That works at a high level.
Yeah.
So there are examples of it
working.
And you hope that's the case. But that to me is now the new challenge for Vrabel. Establishing culture, playing with an edge, snarl, whatever you want to call it, cleaning up the little mistakes, the crap that gets you beat. I'm willing to buy in on all that. I think Vrabel's now going to do it. I think we're already seeing that. The next thing, and we're not going to know it for a while, is he the right match for Drake May? So in this way, Keith, I think the coaching staff rankings you referenced earlier in the show that came out a couple of weeks ago, where the Patriots were 20th or something like that. Is that where they were? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that sounds right. Minnesota's number one. They're going to be in Minnesota this week.
Which, again, the way these teams are constructed is very interesting this week. Minnesota has everything except potentially the quarterback, who they're trying to plug in. The Patriots kind of have nothing outside of the quarterback, or at least that was the case a year ago when May first got here. So there are different ways to build a team. Which model do you like better? I think this is a good contrast there. ESPN came out with their future projections for the next 3 years. So 25, 26, 27.
Okay, I like this.
The coaching, which includes Vrabel prominently, but it's the entire staff, 18th over the next 3 years is where that ranks in the NFL. The quarterback ranks 7th. And the Patriots overall are tied for 18th. I want to say off the top of my head the team they're tied with is the Bears. Let me double check that. But they are tied for 18th. But
7th is really high, actually.
ESPN is much more bullish on the quarterback than the coach, which again makes me question, is Vrabel the right guy for May?
So, yeah, that is surprising.
And they are tied with Chicago, just to close that loop.
18th. Oh, interesting.
Yep.
But Drake May being 7th over the next 3 years is, I guess, on the one hand, very promising. Like if that ends up being the case, you sign up for that in a second.
Yep.
He's a top 7 quarterback, you know, for the next 3 years, because you're talking about year 2, 3, and 4 in the league. And they already have him ranked in the 20s for year 2. So if he's going to average out to being 7th, that means...
I'm trying to figure out the quarterbacks ahead of him now over the next 3 years.
So it's got to be...
Hang on. Ready? Hurts is 8th, so it's not Hurts. Lamar is 3.
Yeah.
Mahomes is 1. Allen's 2. It's not Goff.
Burrow.
It's not Love. Hang on. I'm just scrolling through team by
team. It's got to be the same top 4 guys now. Allen, Jackson, Stroud. Burrow, and Mahomes.
Yeah, Daniels is ahead of him. Okay, yeah, you're probably right. Herbert's ahead of him. But yeah, that is high. 7th is high.
It's insanely high. Because right now,
Burrow, you were right. Burrow's Burrow. The other one. Yep.
So he's ahead of Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield. Like that'd be and Caleb Williams and Bo Nix.
Yeah, Caleb is 18th.
Caleb Williams is 18th? So they do not like him.
Nope.
They're down on him.
Caleb
completely.
Is 18.
Wow. So, I mean, you'd take that. It just seems like that's quite a leap. You would think he'd be ranked higher now. Because 3 years isn't 10 years. You're just talking about... So, all the top quarterbacks are pretty young in the NFL, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers is no longer a top quarterback. Russell Wilson's no longer a top quarterback. I personally don't think Matthew Stafford is. I know you do, so that may be one of the old guys that would dip down.
He'd be way lower on for the next 3 years. Yeah.
But that's a big leap, and that'd be a massive success if he was 7. But it also seems... like they would be more hand in hand, and how could Vrabel be as low if his quarterback is taken off like that?
But again, I think it does go back to that question. Is he and McDaniels, are they the right guys for Drake May? I think it all does go hand in hand back with that. Other items here in the future rankings, their roster minus the QB.
Okay, everybody else, the 52.
26th over the next 3 years.
Wait a minute. I just don't understand this. How can he be the 7th best quarterback, and then you think everybody else? Yeah. I don't know, because you're going to need some help to be the 7th best quarterback.
Doesn't that make sense? The Patriots are 18th.
Yeah.
He's 7th. The roster is 26th. Put them all together. May elevates what's around him.
Well, he should.
He absolutely should. Yeah. We don't know if he's going to. This is a projection on there, and we don't know if he's going to, but I think I'm not going to let him off the hook. I hear a lot of Shimes. Shimes like, he's not going to be that great this year, and he doesn't have anything around him, and like, he's building in excuses for Drake May because he likes Drake May and believes in May, as do I. But I'm going to need to see him elevate what's around him, because I think the receivers are good enough to be elevated by a promising quarterback. I think the O-line is good enough. I actually mostly liked what I saw out of the O-line on Friday night, save for one play.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good enough to be elevated by a promising young quarterback. So he has to do that. And if he can't, I think there's enough there, coaching as well, to look at it and say, what is this guy? And is he really reaching his potential early? Yeah. There's a lot on his shoulders this year, and there should be.
This draft class, though, could obviously go one of two ways, because I think, but if you're projecting forward, I mean, you have what could be the best offensive lineman in the draft. You have a running back who looks pretty good.
Awesome the other night. Yeah.
He looks great. He could do a little bit of everything, too. And then, you know, I don't know about Kyle Williams as much, but like Christian Gonzalez should factor into that list pretty significantly. You might have the best corner over the next 3 years, and that's one of the most important positions. But all right, overall, I mean, I guess it just seems like this is the first national list that's high on Drake May.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is pretty down or not expecting much for this season, but a 3 year snapshot to put him ahead of everybody from his draft class, with the exception of Jaden Daniels.
Let me ask it to you another way. In 3 years, should Drake May be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
So yeah. There you go. That's what they have him doing.
Well, yeah, no, but even higher than I thought. Like, I'd probably put him 10 if we're getting into semantics. Like, I wouldn't put him ahead of Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield, but I think 10's fine, and that's a success to me. Even one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, and he's young like that.
Yeah, I mean, Herbert's a top 10 quarterback in the league. Like, I would nitpick Herbert and say he still doesn't want a playoff game, never mind a championship. So, like, I would have nitpicks.
But a good place to be.
Overall, in 3 years, he should absolutely be. In the next 3 years, he should be a top 10 quarterback in the league. Yes.
So, I think, myself included, we have a hard time really, like, analyzing quarterbacks because for 20 years, you had the best ever. So, everybody else sucked.
See, I think we were really good at analyzing.
This guy's good. Everybody else sucks.
Yeah, maybe we were.
I think we really simplified that.
We don't do what a lot of other people do. Where they look at Goff and they go,
maybe he's good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but guess what? After years and years of Mac Jones, Bailey Zappi, Cam Newton, Jacoby Brissett, suddenly Jared Goff is pretty good.
So you think we're nose blind? We become nose blind to evaluate quarterbacks.
I think so. So now my point would be, if you have the 10th best quarterback, you at the very least go into each season. This is a low bar, but you know who your quarterback is. The last 5 years, you didn't really know who it was. You're like, oh, we got a Cam Newton, Mac Jones battle. You're like, you have a what? Like, yeah, they signed Jacoby Brissett, and he's probably going to start. It's like, you what?
Huh?
You should know.
Why'd you do that?
There should be no debate who your starting quarterback is. That's the baseline. And then from there, you're like, all right, is he one of the best in the conference? And if he's one of the five best quarterbacks in the conference, you should walk into the playoffs.
We know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks.
Mel Kiper does. He knows quarterbacks better than anybody else.
He does.
He must have been doing the Vince McMahon walk after that Shedeur Sanders performance, just walking into ESPN.
Yeah, I've seen some people. I think our guy Skip, I think, was taking a big victory lap on Shedeur as well.
Is Skip a pro Shedeur guy?
I think he's a pro Dion guy.
Oh, okay.
So I think by proxy, yeah. I think
big Shiloh guy.
Less so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's a fair way to look at it. In the next 3 years, he should be in the top 10. We saw that Mike Sando, the 50 executives, the top quarterbacks in the league. You know, I think there were 13 or 14 quarterbacks on the top two tiers.
Yeah.
By the end of this year, and I heard Scheim and Curtis and Courtney and Wiggy talking about this. By the end of this year, we should look at him as a second tier quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, get out of that
crowded middle tier,
the middling group.
Yep.
Get out of there and elevate to the second tier. And by year 3 and 4 in the league, 2 or 3 years from now, you should be
if
in the
If you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
That's where he should be. There. That's where he should be. Not to be confused with our coaching tiers.
No, which are available right now at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and on Instagram. But, yeah, I think that's the hope and maybe even the expectation around here as it relates to Drake May. But, yeah, it's funny because there are also guys, just the way it goes, where they'll sort of peak for a season or two then dip back down. Like, how consistent can the guy be? Because I'm looking at the tier that we did going back in June. But, like, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, like Kyler Murray, Tua. You watch him for like a month, you're like, it's the best quarterback of all time. Then you watch him for another month, you're like, that guy might not start anymore.
You see,
like,
we're pro Kyler. Did you see the pick he threw the other day?
No, I didn't see it. It was a rough go.
Horrendously.
He underthrew it by about 15
yards. It was so bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the top tier, yeah, you have a bad game, you have a bad pick or whatever, but like, some of these guys have like a bad season, then they followed up with a good season. It's like some of the starting pitchers that we look at. No, what happened to this guy this year?
Jordan Love, and he's just in my head because news today, he's having a surgery. But like Jordan Love 2 years ago looked great. Last year you looked at him and you're like, what was all the fuss about?
He's like Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
2 years ago, every other guy.
Every other year guy.
So maybe I do draft him again in fantasy. No, I can't.
Oh, you were burned?
I got torched by Jordan Love last year.
No, the rule with him is I think torched. It's the Toyota-thon. You can have him for like those 6 weeks, and then everything else.
He's good during the Toyota-thon?
Yeah, there's an actual stat about how good he is in the Toyota-thon.
So Kyler Murray, you stay away from in Call of Duty.
No. When Call of Duty comes out, you're out on Kyler Murray.
Jordan Love Toyota-thon?
So wait, does that line up? Could you have opportunity? Wait. Not to speak my whole fantasy strategy out loud. Do you draft Kyler Murray? Trade him for Jordan Love just in time for Toyota-thon? When is Toyota-thon? Does that align with when Call of Duty's released?
I feel like that's going to factor into our Bozo parlays this year.
So this tweet was from last December, but not during the Toyota-thon for Jordan Love. 3,800 yards, 29 touchdowns, 25 picks. During the Toyota-thon, 3,300 yards, 26 touchdowns, 2 picks.
So according to Gemini...
lights out during the Toyota-thon.
Wow, I didn't know
that. Mid-November to early January is the average Toyota-thon.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So that's his sweet spot? So like Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah. That was Biden's America, though. So I don't know. I don't know if that you might. I mean, you know,
did Trump get rid of the Toyota-thon? You can't do that, can
you? You might need a different vehicle. I don't know.
That is.
Is there a Ford-a-thon?
Fascinating.
I don't know.
I don't know if there is either.
I don't think so either. They must do something. So why he's red hot?
Jordan Love crushes it.
Let me tell you. You know,
that's a good breakdown.
You never really know what you're going to get on this show.
No, you don't.
But Jordan Love lights out during Toyota-thon is something that somehow I'm going to be factoring in. No pun intended.
Nope.
I'm going to be factoring in to my fantasy. Strategy. I don't know. The auction's Saturday, Keith. So I don't know how I'm using that, but I'm using
good
that
luck.
Bit of information somehow.
Oh, and by the way, there will be a Jones and Keith fantasy football league this year.
Sure?
There
are
is.
Sure? There's going to be one very angry texter and or tweeter about this league. I
apologize to Dice. I apologize.
Yeah, this is on Keith. I'm distancing myself.
Well,
from this.
We have a 12-person league, but we actually have 13 owners.
Oh.
There's going to be one. Should I save this one now? Save it for sweeps week?
No. Save it for Toyota-thon.
So there's going to be one co-owned team in our fantasy football league.
Oh, who's that going to be?
It's going to be
Billy and Nick.
Three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson and Stiz are going to co-own a team. I think we should film them every week breaking down who's going to start and sit.
Start sits. Who are we plugging in at
the
flex?
The two of them arguing over who the quarterback is each
like
week.
Waiver priority?
Should we do a trade? Yeah, them like just crunching the numbers, having full discussions on this.
That is a great idea.
So Stiz and Ted are going to co-own a team, and then you can probably guess some of the other characters that are going to be in it. And then what we'll do, this is a couple weeks out, we'll do a live draft some night. We did this a couple years ago, so we'll stream it on YouTube, and if you want to jump in the chat and make fun of us while we do it, you feel free.
Okay.
So we'll let you know. We'll give you plenty of heads up.
If you make fun of me for drafting Jordan Love, you better know. You better come correct with your Toyota-thon numbers. But okay, so Stiz and Ted are co-owning a team.
Stiz and Ted are co-owning a team. Everybody else, I believe, has their own team.
Yeah, okay. Everyone else has autonomy. Those two need.
Stiz and Ted are the Wick Rosbeck and Wick's dad of the fantasy league.
They might have to lock their keys every time they make a pick. That's what they got to do. Every time there's a roster decision, they have to agree.
So it should be a lot of fun.
I like that very much. Yep. Okay, that is our plan for fantasy, our fantasy draft, our fantasy league here, Jones and Keith.
Yep.
T's and P's to Dice. You're on the outside looking in. We're all in the market.
He might stop listening to the show now. He's going to be so mad.
We lost a listener.
Yeah.
We're all in the market for co-managers, though. I feel like Ted and Stiz have a significant advantage.
Oh, he already texted in.
What'd he say?
I am the reigning champ. This is an absolute disgrace.
All right. We're going to have to figure this out. 617-779-7937. That's how you dial up WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Ya got Hart. Ya got Fitzy. Ya got Ted. And Stiz. We also have the clip du jour on the way. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Emptiness is loneliness, and loneliness is cleanliness, and cleanliness is godliness, and God is
Grab Bag.
Just like me.